This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. The United States and Israel's strike on Iran over the weekend has launched this country into another war in the Middle East. And amid all of the national and international news about the war, an important component of the military effort is coordinated right here in the St. Louis region at Scott Air Force Base near Belleville and Muskoda. Thousands of military and civilian personnel there work at the headquarters of U.S. Transportation Command, or TRANSCOM. The combatant command, one of just 11 in the world, oversees the movement of U.S. troops, equipment, and fuel worldwide. For more, here's producer Alex Hoyer.
U.S. Transportation Command is led by a four-star general. From 2021 to 2024, that general was Jacqueline Van Ovost, who is now retired, and she joins me now. General Van Ovost, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Alex. It's great being here, and it's great to talk to St. Louis again.
Now, I want to be clear that we're not going to be talking about the politics of the current administration or getting into whether it was a good or a bad idea to strike Iran. We want to get insight into what this major command at Scott Air Force Base does. Now, we said in the introduction that TRANSCOM oversees the movement of U.S. troops, equipment, and fuel worldwide. That is a very simple description, but what's a longer description about what TRANSCOM does?
Yeah, thanks, Alex. You know, before anything else, I want to take a moment to offer my deepest condolences to the families and the units of the U.S. service members killed in Kuwait during the early stages of this conflict. These were members of our logistics and sustainment community, and their sacrifice reminds us that sustainment is not a rear area function. It's a warfighting function carried out by men and women who serve with quiet courage on the front line of endurance. And as the chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff mentioned in his presser, they are the best our nation has to offer.
Thank you for that.
As you mentioned, U.S. TRANSCOM oversees, it is a warfighting command, okay, headquartered right here in this region. And it has one mission, that is to project, maneuver, and sustain the joint force at a time and place of our nation's choosing. And I would say the scale and complexity of this global mission is really beyond compare. No other nation can project and sustain a credible and lethal combat force like the United States can. And they make it look routine, Alex.
Can you give a sense of just the vast amount and complexity of what TRANSCOM has to move around the world, something that our listeners might be able to understand?
Yes. And because we're talking about moving a combat forces for which about 80% of our combat forces are stationed right here in the United States. So if we have a conflict overseas, we have to move them from here to there. And I think about, you know, how far away the Middle East is. And the Middle East is familiar territory to us, but it's still very, very far. And it is really full of logistics choke points between here and there. So when I think about having over the past, I would say 2 months, and I'm not going to share anything that, you know, is not already out there, but I would say in the past 2 months, U.S. Transportation Command and our components have moved, you know, tens of thousands of people, hundreds of fighter aircraft via air refueling, dozens of tankers overseas, focusing on ensuring that we have the food, the fuel, the munitions necessary, our air defense capabilities that are being stiffened in the Middle East area for our partners, and the troop sustainment that keeps them going every day. That is what U.S. Transportation Command has been focused on in the last about 2 months.
Now,
does that make sense?
It does. And you mentioned refueling, and I want to acknowledge that Air Mobility Command is also based at Scott Air Force Base, and it works very closely with TRANSCOM. And prior to becoming the commander of TRANSCOM, you were the commander of Air Mobility Command. And I wanted to think of an example that is unique to our states and our region, and that is the example of B-2 stealth bombers based at Whiteman Air Force Base in Missouri. Can you explain how Transcom and Air Mobility Command work together to refuel a bomber in midair?
Yes, it's quite an orchestration because, as you know, they take off from the United States. They're in Whiteman, Missouri, and they have been known to travel all the way to their targets at a time and place of our choosing and come all the way back. But they cannot do that. And that's about between 32 and 37 hours of flying. They cannot do that without air refueling. So we work together with planners to map out their route and provide fuel along the way, both there and back, multiple times. So we could see a dozen air refueler aircraft supporting a small formation moving back and forth to the Middle East or the Pacific or wherever. And it's that close, you know, choreography, because this is air-to-air refueling, so they have to be in the same space at the same time. And without that air refueling, they would not be able to have the reach necessary or the endurance necessary for combat operations. I say at logistics, we define that tempo, the reach, and the endurance of our combat formations, and thus the lethality of our combat formations.
You talked about tempo. I'm curious, what would be happening at Scott Air Force Base maybe within the first 24 hours after a strike like the one on Iran? How does the tempo and the pace, the operations, how does it change at the base?
Yeah, thanks. I tell you, this is, first of all, the operation every day, you know, just another Tuesday, is 24/7 operations around the globe, supporting humanitarian things, supporting exercises, global movements, normal things that go on around every day. So as you saw, there was a buildup, as I said, about, you know, 2 months worth of movements from the United States throughout Europe into the Middle East and other areas to prepare for something like this. But when combat operations actually start, there is a shift. So a little bit of shift, again, in priorities and in routing. For example, the volley back from Iran was focused on seaports and airports, you know, dual-use seaports and civilian and military airports. That changes the pattern of commercial airlines, commercial cargo, and ships, which all have to be taken into account as we surge into theater to continue to provide for a force that is now in combat operations. So I would necessarily see increased personnel on the floor managing the flows of ships and airplanes and rail and trucking, right? How do we get the supplies? How do we see them and predict that they're going to come to a port that we have to pick them up and move them? How do you balance speed and capacity that you have around the globe to be able to shift to this capabilities into the Middle East? There's a lot of planning, but you know, before all of that, you know, one thing we do in the military well is plan, right? We have contingency plans that we take off the shelf and we take a look at and we exercise these plans so that in time of crisis, we can shift more easily into the tempo of combat operations. So we have exercised around the globe very, very different scenarios.
You talked about the importance of working with allies before, and I want to note that earlier this week, Spain condemned the attacks on Iran, and Reuters reported that Spain would not allow U.S. planes, particularly KC-135 refueling tankers stationed there, to be used in the war effort. Now, Flight Radar 24 tracked some of these planes leaving Spain and flying toward Germany and France. But without getting into specifics about operations and where these planes might be, can you explain in general how Transcom coordinates moving aircraft and supplies, especially when there are challenges like this?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's part of our secret sauce. First of all, no other nation has such an extensive well of allies and partners willing to provide us what we call access, basing, and overflight of their nations when different contingencies or humanitarian missions go on. So it's pretty routine that we work with these nations, and we work very closely with the geographic combatant commander, in this case, the European command commander, on what is the sense of the NATO nations, and what's the sense, you know, of all the European nations with respect to can we use our normal basing? Will they support us? And in the run-up to that, there are diplomatic maneuvers that occur with the geographic combatant commander and with our State Department to see if the different nations would be willing to allow us continued access, or what type of access. Maybe that'll change a little bit. Maybe there'll be some guardrails there. But they're shaping that every day in the run-up to this. And so Spain, as a sovereign nation, can decide not to give us access basing or overflight, or change it. That's within. We have to be aligned. And so we're not aligned, but we have backup plans. And that's why that all the rest of our allies and partners, that's why it's so important, right? We always think through, what if we don't have Spain? What if we don't have Saudi Arabia or Jordan? What would we do? And we practice going around those nations and thinking through what the basing efforts would look like. But again, these are sovereign nations. They make sovereign decisions. And we need to have the flexibility to adapt and maneuver logistics flows around that. And you saw that when they moved the tankers out of Spain.
Is it common for a NATO member to object to an American military operation?
I'm not going to characterize what is common and uncommon. I would leave that to the State Department and to European Command Commander. I would just say that, you know, our partnerships run pretty deep, right? And certain allies and partners may be with us on a certain operation, and they may not be with us on another operation. But we still exercise and work together with them on different plans. And that is what makes our ability to project and sustain around the globe. It's a real thing, and what makes us lethal.
And with U.S. Transportation Command being responsible for moving both people and equipment throughout the world, and for all of the military's commands, how do you prioritize what needs to get done, especially when people in charge at these various commands probably think that their mission is the most urgent thing that needs to be dealt with?
Of course it is. Everybody's mission is the most urgent. But when we talk about what happens in a crisis, as there's the run-up to the crisis, there's a senior leaders get together. I'm talking about the combatant commanders with the Secretary of Defense and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, and we talk about what are the priorities around the globe and what are the risks. Because there's, you know, a risk of doing things the same way, which would change if you were in a combat situation. So I think when we hit a crisis, the mission doesn't change, but that tempo and priority and risk calculus does. And we have to have those trades. And yes, Transcom will expand its capacity to try to continue to support around the globe, but there will be some things that we will make trade-offs on. And that will be done at the combatant commander and secretary level. But we're used to adapting and changing of priorities. And so we could see it coming. For example, you know, air defense systems are a priority in the Middle East. And say an exercise, you know, in the Southern Command hemisphere would be of lower priority, right? So you just have to shift and then point the flow towards the highest level of priorities. But again, those things change, and that's why that communication is key, and that near-time intelligence is key as well.
We mentioned at the beginning of this conversation that there are thousands of people who work at Scott Air Force Base with U.S. Transportation Command. What do they take pride in doing, maybe them, and what did you take pride in doing when you were the commander of Transcom?
Well, I took a lot of pride in the men and women of U.S. Transportation Command and our partners for all the selfless work they do every day. They make this look easy. And I always say the strength of this entire enterprise, this is military, civilian, contractors, commercial partners, The strength of this enterprise is our people. And that's, you know, the active duty, the guard, again, the contractors. They are living, breathing, adaptable human beings that fully understand commander's intent, and they roll up their sleeves and they get it done, right? And they don't do it with fanfare. They are in the quiet background making things happen for the combatant commanders around the globe and for the United States and for the State Department. And they work hard. They love what they do. And again, it's not the glorious. It's not, you know, an air-to-air missile that you could see taking down another aircraft. It is the stick of lethality. They know that logistics wins wars. And to do that, we have to set the table or set the globe with the right capabilities moved into pre-positioning and at bases so that at a time and place of our nation's choosing, we can do the nation's business. And logistics is also deterrence, and they know that as well, because we are credible and we are reliable, and they see us around the globe working tirelessly every day. This is our day job. This is every Tuesday at Transcom. And because they make it look so easy, people know, and they're actually targeting logistics, because they know if we can get out of the United States, we could be at their doorstep. So they take great pride in what they do. It is the best command.
A little biased, perhaps.
Perhaps.
You spent a significant portion of your career at Scott Air Force Base. I'm curious, when you reflect back at your time at Scott Air Force Base, what do you appreciate the most, or perhaps miss about being in the St. Louis region?
Well, I really did love the St. Louis region. So much to do in that area. So much character. History for our nation out there, and the sports, the venues you all have. It was really, really great. It is the people that I miss. It is the people that I miss. Everyone having a purpose, understanding what that is, coming together daily, and then just watching what happens around the globe. Just looking at TV and saying, yeah, you know, people have no understanding how that all happened, but that started happening 3 weeks ago at our command, and it executed because of what we did. But I also look back and think, we also had this, you know, rear mirror, what could I have done more about? What was left on the table? And I spoke a little bit about the connectivity, and we really have got to get connected, because that is the key to survivability. But also, we have some aging equipment I'm very concerned about. Our airlift and air refueling forces need to be modernized. Our ships need to be modernized. Our method of command and control, when we go to predictive operation using AI agents to better tee up the decision space so we can make decisions that are more optimal to achieve the outcomes that the combatant commanders want, you know, so upgrading the air operating center, upgrading the Transcom, the global operations center, and then working together with the services to get the equipment. And I look out, we need more intra-theater lift, shallow draft ships. We really didn't get after that. So working with the Navy on that. So there are some things that Transcom today is still trying to get after. And I think there's a realization that we cannot be lethal without logistics. People are talking about it more. I am seeing more momentum, so I'm heartened about that. But we are behind. We are really behind, and we need to catch up. And I know that the entire enterprise, the deployment distribution enterprise, is focused on that.
Well, General Jacqueline Van Ovos, thank you so much for sharing your insights about U.S. Transportation Command. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you very much, and appreciate all you do out there for our fellow citizens in St. Louis.
General Jacqueline Van Ovos served as the commander of U.S. Transportation Command based at Scott Air Force Base from 2021 to 2024. She talked with producer Alex Hoyer. We also reached out to Transcom for this story. A spokesperson directed us to comments from the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff at the Pentagon and sent a statement saying the command continues to move equipment and personnel in support of Central Command's requirements.
Today's episode was produced by our executive producer, Alex Hoyer.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.